A morning of today's daf increases test vav. We are in the Mishnah on Yudalem and Beis. More on the topic of multiple Isurim. Third parak of Krisis, we are discussing some of the fundamental rules regarding what establishes an Isur. What happens if the Isur is repeated? What is going to separate Isurim? If I have a violation of an Isur b'shogig, if I do so inadvertently, but I do so in separate halamos, in separate states of unawareness, does that create separation between them? And so we've been covering some very big topics over here in the third parak. The opening of the third parak opened up with the question of how do you even know that you violated an Isur b'shogeg? If you yourself became aware and you realized it, so then that's obvious. But let's say, for example, other people came and told you that you violated an Isur karis b'shogeg. Are you then going to be subject to a karban chatzos? What if you acknowledge what they're saying is correct? What if you dispute what they're saying? And so some of the very big topics that come up over here in the third parak. Along that vein, we discussed yesterday, let's say it's one act, one person, but multiple Yisurim that come about through that one act and one person. So yesterday the Mishnah gave examples, unusual examples, where you have either one piece of food with multiple Yisurim or one woman with multiple Yisurim. So would there be multiple liabilities of a karban chatos? The simple answer is yes. There are multiple Yisurim, and there are multiple karban chatos. The Mishnah that we saw yesterday on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, on the very bottom, talked about eating a food which could theoretically or potentially result in five different karbanos by eating that particular food. And as we talked about yesterday, some Amoraim say that there's a scenario of six. Tosos also suggests another Isser as well that would result in another karban. So so there is a possibility for many Isserim to come out of one action. Same thing is true with a woman. If a woman is usher to you from different aspects, yesterday the Mishnah, on the bottom of Yudalam and Aleph, discussed a scenario in which a man is having relations with his daughter, and not only is she the daughter, but she's also the sister and your uncle's wife and your great uncle's your sister and your brother's wife and your uncle's wife and an Ashishish and an Ida. And how can one woman be all those different things? So it's complicated. That's not the easiest way to say it, but it's for me, it's going to be a shortcut. It's a cheat. It's complicated, but we can get there. And the Mishnah said that that's going to be true with other scenarios as well. We saw the Mishnah on the Amud Beis of yesterday's daf. Haba Basbito, it's possible that a man could have relations with his granddaughter, and she could also be other Isurim as well. And the point of these Mishnayos, is that even though it's one action, nevertheless, if it represents separate Isurim in the Torah, so therefore one is going to be liable for every one of these Isurim. This is a principle called Shemus Muchlakim. Shemus Muchlakim is that as long as there are separate Isurim, so then one is going to be liable for all those Isurim. Yesterday, fundamental discussion, how could there be a second Isur that's going to superimpose on top of the original Isur? We have the principle of Ein Isur Chalal Isur, that one Isur does not impose on top of another Isur. The first Isur kind of saturates and fills up the entire item. And so therefore, for a second Isur to superimpose, so that, generally speaking, doesn't happen. So, but then we introduced ourselves yesterday to, again, very basic and fundamental concepts of Isur Kolo, Isur Mosif. If that second Isur is adding a dimension, either quantitatively or qualitatively increasing the Isur, so then the second Isur can, in fact, superimpose on top of the original Isur. These are some of the most basic ideas that we learned in yesterday's Gemara, and we start off our daf today with basically the same trend, the same thought.
The
Isser is the act of Bia. Arayos, the Isser of Arayos is the act of Bia. She was married to all these previous relationships.
Right. So why is Nida even an issue? There's no marriage.
The Isser of Nida is the Isser to have relations with a woman as a Nida.
Regardless of whether
she's your wife, she's somebody else's wife, she's a single woman, it doesn't matter. There's the Isser of Nida exists just by the fact that she's a Nida. We are on the Mishnah on Yudalit Amud Beis. Let's begin. Abal Chamoso, a man is having relations with his mother-in-law. And Chayav Alav Mishum Chamoso. So she could be your mother-in-law. The Kalaso and your daughter-in-law. Veishas Achiv and your brother's wife. Veishas Achiv. And your uncle's wife, Achos Ishto, and the sister of your wife, Ve'eshes Ish, and she could be a married woman, Ve'nida, and she could be a Nida, and one would be liable for all of those Isurim. Ve'chein al Eim Chamoso, al Eim Chamiv, al Eim Chamoso. And likewise, we could create scenarios the same, even if one's having relations with his father-in-law's mother or with his the mother-in-law's mother. Okay, and once again, I recommend. Yesterday, for a couple of these examples, I actually went through the scenario of how one woman can become all these things. I direct you. I'm sure the art school does a fantastic job in terms of illustrating the scenario. The source book I used yesterday for this is Siyurim, L'Maseches Yevamos, a picture book that was created for Maseches Yevamos, where at the end of the Sefer, he goes through all the scenarios in Yevamos, and he goes through these scenarios as well. So if you would like a detailed depiction of how one woman can become all these things, see the source materials for that. For now, what I will do is I will just simply say it can happen. It's possible. Right, it would be an unusual set of circumstances for it to happen. The Mishnah is not interested in actually detailing the scenario, although it is possible. And by the way, parenthetically, obviously, it's important to realize how it could happen. So, but the point of the Mishnah is again the same point that we learned yesterday: that even though it's multiple Isurim, and even though it's because it's multiple Isurim, even though it's only one woman and it's one act, nevertheless, it's going to manifest and result in multiple karbanos. Rav Yochanan Nuri Omer Abal Chamoso, Chayv Alav Mishum Chamoso Ve'im Chamoso Ve'im Chamiv. A man having relations with his mother-in-law is going to be liable for having relations with his mother-in-law and the mother of his mother-in-law and the mother of his father-in-law. Amru lo, shloshim shem echad hein. And the response they said back to Rav Yochanan Nuri is, what are you talking about? It's all but one iser. What just happened over there at the end of the Mishnah? So the Gemara now is going to explain. Amru Rav Elazar, Amru Rav Yosher, Rav Yochanan Nuri, v'simchus amru davar echad. This position Rav Yochanan Nuri is going to be consistent with that of the position of Simchas. Now, Rav Yochanan Nuri Hadamar. Now, the position of Rav Yochanan Nuri, that we are already explained. Now, we explained it. If you take a look back in the Mishnah, you take a look back at Rashi in the Mishnah, so Rashi explains even further. Rav Yochanan Nuri Omer Mishum Achos Ve'im Chamoso Shaya Nasui Bita Ubas Bita Ve'im Chamav Shenasa Es Bas Benam. Okay, so Rashi just simply constructs the scenario how this one woman could be your mother-in-law and also the mother to your mother-in-law and the father to you and the mother to you and the mother to your father-in-law. The response of the Chachamim is that Shloshtam Shem Echad, meaning this is all really one pasuk. Bechad Kraksivi uvechad Lav Hilka uvechad Lav. The counter argument over here is that as far as your mother-in-law is concerned, so the mother to your mother-in-law and the mother to your father-in-law are really all one iser, and because it's all collectively expressed in one pasuk, therefore it's one iser. So on this the Chachamim balk. The Chachamim say that because it's all one iser, so consequently, one is not going to be liable multiple iserim, meaning it's not shemus muchlakim. That's the position of Rav Yochanan Nuri. I'm sorry, that's the position of the Chachamim. Rav Yochanan Nuri, on the other hand, disagrees. And now what Rav Elazar does, in the name of Rav Oshia, is he's going to connect Tanaim, connecting the position of Rav Yochanan Nuri and Simchas. Now, Rav Yochanan Nuri, we just went over in our Mishnah. Simchas, Mahi, did not. So as far as the position of Simchas is concerned, it's based on the following. Shachta, Mishnah in Chulin. Shachta ve'esbas bita. So let's say you do the following. We know there's an issue that the Torah of Osov Esbeno, you're not allowed to shecht an animal and its offspring on the same day. Osov Esbeno, lo sishchetu b'yom echad. One is not allowed to shecht a mother and its offspring on the same day. It's an issur in the Torah. We had an entire perek in Chulin discussing this very topic. Fifth perek, I believe, if I remember correctly. This issur is specific only to a mother and its offspring. If you have a mother and its grandchild, its third generation. So then there's not going to be an Isser. But the following question comes up in the Mishnayos over there in Chulin. Let's say you shecht the mother and the grandchild, right? Shechta ve'es bas bita ve'achar kach shechta es bita. And then afterwards, now you shecht the second generation, the middle generation. So now, in that one act of shechita, you just violated two Isurim of the Torah. Because you violated the Isur of Vos Vespano two times. One with it and its mother, and the other with it and its daughter. Now, it happens to be that you only did it with one action. So the question is not whether or not you violated the Torah. The question only is, how many times have you violated the Torah? So Sufik is Arbayim. So according to the Tanakhama, you're going to get Malkus, but only one time. Because it is, even though you could count it as two Isurim, but it's one action that result in these two Isurim. Simchas Amar Mishum Rabbi Meir Sufik Shmonim. And according to the position of Simchas, you are going to get Malkus two times over. And so over here, what have we seen? We just learned together now that even though it is one action, but nevertheless, since it manifests itself as two Isurim. Now, it's not two different Isurim, but nevertheless, it's two Isurim. And so Simchas quotes the name of Rav Meir, so therefore it's going to be Malkus two times over. And so now if you put these two cases side by side, so there is a parallel that runs. Because Rav Yochanan in our Mishnah says that it's true. Chamoso, Eim Chamoso, Eim Chamiv. So they are expressed in the same pasuk. But, he says, but they do count, in fact, as three separate Isurim. And so therefore, relations with a woman who is all three is going to create three separate Isurim, three separate Karban Chatos, Iftan B'Shogeg. Here, similarly, the one action, since it results in two separate Isurim, even though it's really the same Isur repeated two times over, is going to result in two sets of Malkus. Okay, I'm a Rava Dimalohi. Now Rava says, look, I see the comparison, but not, it's not a perfect comparison, and I can make distinctions. I can look, I'm a Rava Yochanan Nuri Hachal, Mishum Shemus Muchlakim, de Mikre Chamoso Mikre, Em Chamoso Mikre, Em Chamiv. So over here, in our case, increases. So it's true that it's presented in the same pasuk, but it's also true that I could see them as three separate Isurim. Aval Gabi Osav Esbeno, de Kula Osav Esbeno Mikrein, de Em Shemus Muchlakim, lo. But over here, when it comes to Osav Esbeno, so what is the Isur violated when you shecht the middle animal, the middle generation animal? So you violate Osav Esbeno two times over. But it's still the same Isur. It's still just Osav Esbeno. It just happens to have been repeated twice. So, and it's done with one action. So I could see how Rav Yochanan Nuri over here may not necessarily agree with the position of Rav Meir in Chulin. I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak Duma Adkan Lo Kamer Simchos Ela Gabi Osav Esbeno De Gufim Muchlakim. Similarly, I could also make a distinction the other direction. Rav Meir says that you're going to get Malkus two times over in the case of Osav Esbeno. But over there, it's Gufim Muchlakim. Gufim Muchlakim literally means the bodies are divided, but consider that we're talking about animals over here. So, and it's not the classic Gufim Muchlakim. Gufim Muchlakim, as we've been discussing here in Krisos, is where one has relations with one woman, and then another woman, and then another woman, and even if they're all the same Isser, but it's different women. Here, it's not exactly the same. Here, you're shechting one animal. But in order to create the Isser two times over, there has to be two other animals in order to get to this Isser. Meaning you have to shecht the first generation, you have to have shechted the third generation. The only way you can violate Osav Esbeno is only by having a construct of three separate animals. Mm-hmm. And because when I shecht this middle animal, now it's going to qualify as Osav Esbeno for the generation above and the generation below, is because they are Guf and Muchlakim. Again, not exactly the same as the way we're describing it here in our Masechta, but still, the point being the same. It's separate bodies to get there. Avahachdein Guf and Muchlakim, Ema Karabi, But over here, it's not necessarily Guf and Muchlakim. And so as a result of that, so it is. It's not going to be the same. Damar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, She'era Heina Zima Hi Hakasav Asal Lekulam Zima Achas. Meaning the Torah over here qualifies that the violation of having relations with one mother-in-law and then going up a generation to your mother-in-law's mother, your father-in-law's mother, it is Zima Achas. Meaning when the Torah describes it as She'era Heina, they are your relatives Zima Hi, and it's something which is inappropriate, lewd. It's improper behavior to say the least. So, but the Gemara is focusing on zimahi, meaning that they all are going to go under the umbrella of being one iser. So, basically, I can make a very clear distinction between the cases of chulin and vosav espano and our case over here. And I'm not necessarily true that Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri is going to subscribe to the position of Rabbi Meir. Okay.
If you check the son first and then the mother, is it also espano?
Osav Espino, it does not discriminate between the order in which you shecht. Does not. The Mishnah continues. We're on Tesuav Amin Aleph Amar Rabbi Akiva Shaltis Rabbi Gamliel Vez Rabbi Yeshua Be Ilishel Imaom. A discussion that takes place in the marketplace between tonight. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Gamliel are dialoguing. Shahachu Likach Behema Lemishta Beno Shah Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel was making a chasna for his son, and so they're in the meat market and they're getting meat for the chasna, and they're talking, and of course they're talking in Torah. Simple Musa that comes out of our Gemara is that doesn't matter what you are involved in, if you have headspace for Torah and learning Torah, so you should be involved in learning Torah. That's the simple Musa that comes out of the Gemara. So in this little market run, so Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva are going to be having many discussions. And our Mishnayos, from here until the end of the Perek, are going to be going over a lot of the discussions that occurred between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Gamliel. Obviously, most of them are relevant to our Masechta, and so therefore, the Mesadr HaMishnayos, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, took these discussions and put it right here in the third Perek of Krisus. Question number one. Shaltis Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Akiva asked the following question of Rabbi Gamliel. And Rabbi Yehoshua. All three of them were participating in this conversation. Mahu. So a person has relations with his sister, and also his father's sister and his mother's sister. Now at this point in time, what are we saying? Are we saying that it's one person that has all three of these Yisurim? Are we saying that he had relations three times with three different women? It's not at this point in time perfectly clear what the question was, and you will see as we go through the Gemara, it will be clarified. So chayv achas al kulan or chayv al kol achas v'achas. So is one going to be violating the Yisur one time over or three times over? So amr lo shamanu. So the response of the other chacham and Rabbi Yishuv and Gamliel to Rabbi Akiva is, we're not sure. We don't know. Aval shamanu. But we do know the following. Haba al nashav nidos, b'alam achas. Let's say a man has relations with his wives, and all of them happen to have been anida, and he has relations with each one of them while they were anida. And shuchayva kol achas v'achas. And even though it's halam achas, even though it was in one state of unawareness, he forgot that having relations with anida is usur. And so therefore, this is a classic case of shogeg. So how many karban chataos does he need to bring? And the answer is five. So that we know. And now we have in our Mishnah the words veroe ani, but it's the two responding, veroin anu, as corrected on the side of the Mishnah. And so therefore, we think shadvarim kavachomer. So we think, yeah, this for sure in this case as well. Now, it would be much better for us to understand the back and forth between Rabbi Kiva and the Tanayim if we knew exactly what the question was. The Gemara now seeks clarification on exactly this point. Hechidami. Ile mekitektani maiti bayelei. Hari shemos mechlakin, hari gofi mechlakin. Let's say we understand the question on the simplest level. A man has relations first with his sister, and then with his father's sister, and then with his mother's sister. All three of them are different Isurim in the Torah, different Arais in the Torah, and he had relations with all three on three different occasions. Is that the question? No. The Gemara, to which the Gemara says, that can't be the question. Because if that's the question, you have Gufim Mukhlakim. In other words, those are separate women, separate acts. It's a no-brainer. So, Ela Haki Kitani Habal Achos Aviv Shihi Achos Imo and Vihi Achos Aviv. Chayv Achas Akulano Chayv Akol Achas V'Achas. Mahu. So the Gemara says, so therefore the question must be, because it's a question, otherwise it wouldn't be a question. Question must be where it's one woman representing all three Surim, meaning she is your sister and she's your mother's sister and she's your father's sister. So again, what we're going to have to say, and the Gemara is going to actually spell this one out, what we're going to have to say is that in order to get to a woman who is both your sister and your father's sister and your mother's sister, there's got to be a lot of incest in order to get to this point. The Gemara actually is going to detail how we got to this case. So, but anyway, however we got here, she's all three. So, mi amrin and harei shemus muchlakin. So, do we say on one hand, okay, so it's one act with one woman, but it's three separate isurim. She represents three individual isurim, and therefore you're chayv three times over. Odil maharei ein gufa muchlakin. On the other hand, it's only one woman in one act, and so therefore it's not gufa muchlakin. Now, you must wonder at this point in time, now that we've sharpened the question, we understand the question, now we can say, what's the question? Yesterday's daf, in its entirety, we established, it was tenet, it was fundamental, that as long as one person represents separate Isurim of the Torah, so you're going to be chayv, kol achas v'achas. That was the entire discussion of yesterday. Now that Rabbi Kiva asks Rabbi Gamaliel and Rabbi Yeshua basically the same question, and over here it becomes a question. So like, what just happened? Okay, I'm going to come back to that, and I will circle around and try to respond to that, but that's something certainly that we all have to think about. Amru lo lo shamanu. And their response is mystifying. They say, we don't know. We don't know. Again, I'm just going to reiterate. What did we learn in yesterday's daf? That's exactly the point we learned in yesterday's daf. So again, I'll circle around to that afterwards. Aval shamanu habale al heinashav nidos bevasacha shi shem echad shechayva kol achas v'achas mishim nida. V'arinu shodvarim kavachomer. And so we know the response of the Chachamim. They say, look, if a man has relations with his five wives, every one of them being a nida, and he has relations with them, a helamachas, in one state of unawareness, so therefore he's going to be chai five times because gufim uchlakim. And they conclude by saying, and look, if you're going to be chai five times over in that case, so here, kal v'chomer. How much more so? Now, the Chachamim did not even articulate what is the kal v'chomer. So again, we're going to discuss. Havala heinashav nidos bevas achas shehi shem achas chai v'kol achas v'achas achos v'shi achos aviv shi achos imo shein gimel shemos eino din shei chai v'kol achas v'achas. And so, if one is going to be repeating the same iser multiple times, he's on the hook for five different karmen chataos. If one violates three separate isurim, so how much more so? So basically, the kavachomer of the chacham of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua is basically, look, if you're telling me that gufim mechlakim is going to create individualization regarding karbanos, shemus mechlakim, how much more so? And I guess the thought behind this, the svara behind this, is that, look, even though it's different actions, but if I'm just hitting the same isser again and again and again, so there, it's a stronger argument to say, okay, but it's just repeated isser. And again, it's behelam achas. It's in one state of unawareness. So maybe that would not necessarily divide. But it does. If in that case it divides, how much more so if shemus mukhlakim? Even though, by the way, the obvious counterargument is, yeah, but it's only one act. It's only one act. Okay, but they think that shemus mukhlakim is a greater divider than gufim mukhlakim. So ikal mifrach malahe nidah shekin gufim mukhlakim. And the Gemara goes and points out, yeah, but you know, you can argue with the kavachomer in the way that we just presented, or the way Danny you just presented. In other words, it's not necessarily kavachomer. El amakra ervas achoso gila lechayv al achoso shi achos aviv shihi achos imo. To which Rabbi Gamaliel and Rabbi Kiva say, okay, you don't love the kavachomer. We have a pasuk ervas achoso gila, right? He had relations with his sister, and that creates a chiyuv on every one of the achos isurim. Even though she is your sister and your mother's sister and your father's sister, you're going to be chai for each one individually. Meaning a drasha. It's simply a drasha. Amar v'adar ba'ava mishkachala. Now the Gemara over here, unclear why at this point in time the Gemara like kind of wakes up and says, well, how do you get there? Meaning we've been dealing with Mishnayos where the question was, how do we get there? And over here, the Gemara is asking the question, the Gemara is spelling it out. The Gemara did not do so in yesterday's daf. Okay, but the Gemara does so now. In order to get here, so it has to be that the principal person involved in this act is a Rasha, and not only is he a Rasha, but it happens to be that his father's a Rasha as well. So how are we going around judging and labeling everyone as a Rasha? Very simple, by their actions. What's the case? Shebal imo. In other words, what must have happened over here is that a man had relations with his mother, v'holid beis banos, and he had now two daughters. So these two daughters to him are twofold, meaning they're his daughters and they're also his sisters. Okay. So v'chazer uba al achas mehem. Then he had relations with one of his daughters, / sisters, v'holid ben, and now had a son, uba beno, and now this son, right, he's following in his father's footsteps, and I'm not saying that in a manner of compliment. So v'holid ben beno, uba beno, and his son has al achos imo, with his mother's sister. And so now his mother's sister is, if you're following the scenario, his mother's sister represents to him both, or I should say not both, but all of the above. It is his sister, it's also his mother's sister, and it's also his father's sister. She achoso, she achos aviv, she achos aviv, dehavalei, I'm sorry, shehi, I'm sorry, achos imo, she achoso, she achos aviv, dehavalei rishia bar rishia. And that's why it's Russia by Russia, it's Russia by Russia, and that's how we get to this scenario, in which a man can be having relations with his sister, who is also his father's sister and his mother's sister, but it involves not one, but two generations of incest in order to get to this scenario. Interesting, by the way, the Gemara labels them as Rishayim. Okay? In other words, I certainly understand, meaning they're violating Yisuri Torah. Not only are they violating Yisuri Torah, but serious Yisuri Torah, Arayos. On the other hand, just make a simple observation, the last act of relations was an act of shogeg, meaning because we're asking about the number of chatos that need to be brought. So it's interesting that even in an act of shogeg, still the label of Russia may be an applicable label. Okay, anyway. What comes out now is, okay, question asked, question answered. Meaning now we have clarity on the question that Rabbi Kiva asked the Chacham Rami Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, a man has relations with his sister who also happens to be his father's sister and his mother's sister, his aunt on both sides. So one would be liable for all three. And now I'll circle around. And now we'll go back to the question of why was this even a discussion? Right, nearly a half an amud of Gemara dedicated to this discussion. Didn't we know the conclusion? Meaning if we learned yesterday's daf and retained the basic points of yesterday's daf, we understand that if a woman represents various Yisurim, one's going to be liable for each one of the Yisurim if each of the Yisurim is a separate pasuk in the Torah. And over here, the Gemara had a discussion. The Gemara needed a drasha. What happened? So probably what you're going to have to say, but what I'm saying at this point in time is conjecture. Probably what you're going to have to say is that when it comes to the Isser Erva of Achos, of sister, so maybe it falls under an umbrella of sister. Meaning even though your aunt is not your sister, but it's your father's sister. And maybe categorically, this is the way the Gemara thought to look at it, maybe categorically, it's basically falls under the category of Achoso. I understood. It's not directly your sister, but still, your father's sister, which falls categorically under sister. Same thing with your mother's sister. Right? Obviously, it's not your sister, but still, it is a sister to your mother, and so therefore categorically falls under the category of sister. And maybe the way the Gemara viewed it, not so different than what we discussed at the beginning of Shir today regarding one's mother-in-law and the mother in your mother-in-law and the mother of your father-in-law. Where there, we said very clearly that all files under Im Chamoso. But there, at least, it's all contained in one pasuk. Here, it's a little bit harder to argue, but I'm just arguing just on the side that it was a discussion in the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan Ba'ala, V'chazor Ba'ala, V'chazor Ba'ala, Chayva Kol Achas V'Achas. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that a man has relations with a woman who is an erva to him, and he repeats, he's going to be chayv for every act. So V'chachamim Omrim Eino Chayv Ela Achas. And the Chachamim say that you only chayv one. And so Rabbi Eliezer comes across now as an extraordinarily novel position, which is that not only are gufim going to be mechalik, not only are shemus going to be mechalik, but Rabbi Eliezer adds now a third category, which is that actions are going to be mechalik. Even though it's the same iser, it's the same person, but the actions are going to be mechalik. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, an opinion that is not going to be upheld halachically. Huh? Right, it's not upheld, but nevertheless, that's the chiddush of Rabbi Eliezer. And the Chachamim disagree. Meaning, according to the Chachamim, the only thing that separates and divides are either going to be gufa muchlakim or shemus muchlakim. But if it's the same guf and it's the same iser, even though it was done in different actions, nevertheless, one's going to be chayv only one. Umodim Chachamim leRabbi Eliezer bebalahei nashav anidos bevas achas sheichayv kol achas va'achas. Now, here's where the Chachamim is going to agree with Rabbi Eliezer, and that is in a case where it's five wives, they're all Nida, and he has relations with each one of them separately. So there, hol v'hu garm lahem. Now, there is going to be multiple Yisurim for each act of B.F. with each one of the wives. Now, the reason why, now, if we didn't read the last words of the Gemara, so we all would have said in unison, the reason why is because gufa muchlakim, like we learned through yesterday's daf and today's daf as well. The Gemara gives a curious reason why you'd be chayv five separate chatos. The Gemara says, hovu hu garam lahem, because he caused them to be chayv. Meaning, let's assume everyone was in the state of shogeg. He and his wives were all in the state of shogeg. Now, let's take it from the wife's perspective. Each wife, when they have relations with this one man, their husband, so they're going to be chayv a karban chatos. So what the argument the Gemara now is providing is, well, since each one of them is going to be chayv karban chatos, he's going to be chayv karban chatos corresponding to each karban chatos that he caused each one of the wives. That's the argument the Gemara is giving. Now, on one hand, I do hear the argument. On the other hand, you don't have to give such a sophisticated argument. Go back to what we learned throughout yesterday and today of gufim mechlakim. Amar Rav la Rav Nachman, and that's exactly going to be the Gemara's next point. Amar Rav la Rav Nachman, mi amrin hova hu garm lahem. In fact, the Gemara now is going to say, look, this argument you just provided, I don't even accept the argument. It's not true. V'atanyu hu behalamachas v'hi behei halamos, hu enu chay v'lachas v'hi chayev v'zakolachas v'achas. The Gemara says, let's take the following into consideration. Let's say a man and a woman have relations multiple times. He did it all behalamachas. He never became aware that there was an isser. She, on the other hand, after each time, came out of her stupor, realized that what she did was wrong, and then went back into her state of halama. Now, correct, it's unusual. But the point being is that now, how many carbon chatos did they have to bring? Different. For the man, it was behalamacha, so he's chayv only one. For the woman, five carbon chatos is because she had a yediyah being tayim, and therefore that's going to separate. So you see clearly over here that just because she brings five, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's also going to bring five. Oh, okay, fine. So basically, it's a dismissal of the argument. Ella, ema hol v'gufa muchlakin. So the Gemara says, okay, so the better way, the correct way to punctuate the brisa is by saying it's not the argument of because he generated so many karmen chatos by the other person, therefore he brings the same number. That's not the argument. The argument is gufa muchlakin. The Gemara now advances the discussion. So again, we have a chiddush of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, not only is gufa muchlakim, shemus muchlakim, but actions are going to be mechalik as well. The Gemara says, let's consider the following. Katsu v'katsu mali amar Rabbi Eliezer. On Shabbos, a person violates the malach of Kitzira, he harvests. Now, you harvest on Shabbos, b'mezid, skila. Without witnesses, kares. Shogeg, karmen chatas. How much do you have to harvest? It's a shear. The shear is the amount of wheat that fills the volume of a grogeris, a date. So, let's say you harvest one time, a shear's worth of harvesting. And then, same Shabbos, same halama, you do it again. Now, as far as we are concerned, meaning the majority position, it's one iser, in halam echas, it's shem achas, it's guf achas, right, that part's a little bit tricky, but let's just say it. It's guf achas. You're going to be chayv one. There's nothing really to discuss other than the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. What would Rabbi Eliezer say in such a scenario? The Rabbi Eliezer has some mishum dehu da avitartin ve'amat lahachi amar chayv akol achas v'achas v'achanami da avitartin. On one hand, you could say that, look, in the case where a man has multiple acts of relations, same woman, same iser, but the acts themselves are going to be mechalik. Would he say the same thing over here? I know, it's the same Isser Shabbos, repeated twice, Behalamachas. But it's two different acts, and so therefore two Karmen Chatzeses. Would he say that? Udimotam de Rabbi Eliezer, Hasta Mishum, Diefshola Arvan Labia Zubazu. Amatalahachi. So, I'm sorry, Amatalahachi, I'm Rabbi Eliezer, Chayvakol Achas Vachas. Avat Kutzer, Kagrogorus. The Kutzer, Kagrogorus, Balamachas. Kevin Defshola Larv, Shte Grogorus, Bavasachas, Enochayv Ela Achas. The counter argument. The counter argument looks like this. When a man has relations with a woman multiple times, it's impossible to have multiple relations simultaneously. I know it sounds not so smart. It is. I'm not because I am, but it is. The separate acts have to, by definition, be separate acts. However, when it comes to Katsira, it's true you did it in separate acts, but you could have done it in one act. You could have taken the volume that you did, the two grogers, and you could have done it in one act. So maybe Rabbi Eliezer says that actions are going to be mechalek when the very definition of the act is done in multiple times. But if the act could have been done in one time, maybe Rabbi Eliezer says you're only going to be chayv one. So my Amar Rabba time of the Rabbi Eliezer hasa mishum da avatarte achanami havatarte. So the Amoraim weigh in on this discussion. Rabba says, look, it's just we look at the act and it's that simple. If the act is done another time, you're chayv another carbon. Same here. The act was done in two separate times, therefore you're chayv two separate karbanos. So Rav Yosef Amar Tam and Rav Lazar Asam Diashol Ola Arvan, Aval Efshol Ola Arvan and Chayv Ola Achas. And Rav Yosef takes the other side, making the distinction we just made. In the case of the bios by definition have to be done one at a time. When it comes to Katsira, you didn't have to separate them in two separate acts. You could have done them in one act, and therefore you're going to be chayv only one time. Meaning, according, this is all a discussion within the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Eis ve'abay l'rabba, Rabbi Eliezer mechayev al v'lade malachos, b'makom avos malachos. So let's now go to a sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, which we saw back in Baba Kama, on the first page of Baba Kama, which is that Rabbi Eliezer says that you're going to be chayev a v'lad b'makom av. Now, when it comes to Shabbos and the malachas of Shabbos, so the categorization is very straightforward. We have 39 avos, 39 main categories, and within each of the main categories, you have tolados. You have the subcategories. Okay? Simple example, we have the av malach of dash, separating the shell from the fruit inside, and then a schita. When you squeeze something, extracting the liquid inside, so that is going to be a subcategory of dash. And so so you have avos and tolados. Now, as far as Isser Shabbos, they're both Isser Shabbos. And Chilul Shabbos minat Torah. And if you do either one of them, you're going to be chayav. You're going to be chayav for each one. So then what's the whole point of categorization? So the point of categorization is that if I do an av and it's tolada, you're only going to be chayav one carbon. That is the majority viewpoint as expressed in the Gemara Baba Kama. However, Rabbi Eliezer on this disagrees. Rabbi Eliezer says that you're going to be mechayiv evlad b'makom av. He just disagrees. And you're going to be chayiv for each one, even though the tolada that you violated is a subcategory of the av. Now, ha'av v'av b'vas achas pater. Now, what it sounds like is if I did an av and I repeated the same av, it sounds like I'm going to be exempt from a second karban. So the Gemara now asks a good question. Well, if for Rabbi Eliezer, the only critical point is repeated acts, so over here you repeated the act, even though it's the same av, but you repeated the act. So why then would the Braisa say, now the Braisa doesn't say it's super clear, but the Diuk is pretty clear. Why would the implication therefore be that you're going to be chayiv only one? So Amar Mar Berei de Rabbanan Anav Rav Nechumi Bar Zecharia Targumei Ahacha B'ma Iskinan B'dalyas Hamudelas Algabe te'ina v'katzam bevas achas. So the Gemara says, okay, over here we're talking about an extraordinary specific case where you had vines and the vines were growing over a fig tree. And what you did is you cut. And you cut it with one action and you cut the two with the one action. Now the vines themselves didn't have any fruit on them. So why did you cut them? For the wood. The fruit, why did you cut them? For the fruit. So mishum hach mechayv Rabbi Elazar, hol v'shemus muchlakim, v'gufin muchlakim. So the Gemara says, under those circumstances, that's why Rabbi Elazar says you're going to be chayv too, because they are two separate Isurim of Shabbos. One is the cutting off of the fruit, and the other one is the cutting off of the wood. So and now give me a parallel scenario with av, very simple, where it wasn't vines and fruit, it was vines and vines, or it was fruit and fruit. And it was done simultaneously. And under those circumstances, you're only going to be chayv one carbon. But if I were to cut, and then separately, on a separate action, I cut again, so then you're going to be chayv two. So the Gemara says from that braisa, it is not conclusive that Rabbi Eliezer, that Rabba's pshat within Rabbi Elazar is an incorrect pshat. Recap. We started this morning with a Mishnah. We're not finished, but we started this morning with a Mishnah regarding Chamoso, Em Chamoso, Em Chamiv. There, it's all expressed in one pasuk. It's all one Isser. So there, we do not say Shemus Muchlakim. And so therefore, if a woman represents all three, it will only be one Isser Karban, one Chiv Karban, assuming that it was Behelam Achas. Then we move to the next Mishnah of this morning, the Mishnah of Rabbi Kiva asking questions to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua as they're in the marketplace buying meat for the chasna, for the son of Rabbi Gamliel. And there this discussion continues. What if one has relations with a sister who is also your mother's sister and your father's sister? Do we say that it's going to be Shemus Mechlakim? And the answer is very simple. We say Shemus Mechlakim. I for summary purposes, I condensed the entire discussion. And then the Chiddush of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that not only is Guf going to be Mechalik, and not only is Isser going to be Mechalik, but actions are going to be Mechalik as well. Within the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, what's the Svara behind Rabbi Eliezer? A debate between Rav Yosef and Rabbo, and the Gemara defends both positions. Continuing now, Va'ochal Rabbi Akiva. More questions, right? Mm-hmm. So that discussion is over, and they're spending some time in the marketplace. Good. So, not focusing much on the purchasing of the meat, but okay, fine. But still doing it. Avram Udadals Bebehema Mahu. Let's say you have a limb of an animal that's hanging on. So it is mostly off, but not totally off. And so small connective tissue still having this limb attached to the animal. And what do we say regarding the limb of the animal? We know that when an animal dies, it's a nevela. We also know that when a limb comes off of an animal, that limb has the status of nevela and is therefore going to be tummy. Tumas nevela is tummy b'maga uvimasa, contact and carrying. So this limb is 90% detached. My number is made up, but it doesn't matter. You get the point. So amru lo lo shamanu. So again, same response, Rabbi Kiva, good question. We're unsure. Aval shamanu Avram adudel spadam shu tower. However, we do know the following. A human limb. So we're going to say the same halachas with a human limb. Human limb when connected to your body, obviously, is not a source of tumah. Once the limb is detached from your body, it is now it's human remains, and therefore it's going to be tameh. Tumas Adam is tameh with maga, masa, and ohel. So I have Avram adudel spadam. So it is hanging on by human, and it's tahor. And we know it's tahor. V'kach hayu mucheshkin osim b'Yerushalayim. And based on this, a fascinating halacha that was put into place for our mucheshkin. Our mucheshkin were suffering from some sort of disease. Forgive me for not being the clinician. I was about to say, forgive me for not being the clinician and not being able to give you a good diagnosis of what they had. But basically, they had limbs almost detached from their body, almost. And Osim Yerushalayim Holech Lo Erev Pesach Eitzel HaRofe. And on Erev Pesach, they'd go to the doctor for Chotcho, and they would have their limbs cut off. Achim Niach Bo Kisara. Not fully detached, meaning let's say the limb was detached, who knows, 40%. Again, made up numbers. And so they went to the doctor where the doctor now didn't fully detach it, didn't fully amputate, but basically got it to 99% detached. Now, why 99%? Right? Chut HaSa'ara. Just a little bit of thread connecting it. So v'chot chalat sheminich bo kisa'ara. V'tochvo b'sira. And now, last step. All this sounds painful. Every step. Last step is that what they would do now is they would take the nearly detached limb and they would attach it to a peg on the wall and v'nimshach mimenu. And with one quick jerking motion, I know we're all recoiling. I myself am recoiling. You don't see it in me, recoiling, but I'm recoiling. So v'chotcho b'sira v'nimshach mimenu. And in a jerking motion, what they do is now they separate themselves from their limb. V'hala osepischo, and now we're ready for Karban Pesach. Some people take a shower. Some people, you know. Okay. The obvious question is, why? Meaning, why is it so important to have this limb, which is right now somewhat tenuously connected to them? Why do they have to detach it before Karban Pesach? Now, the answer you're going to come at me is not tumah, because as long as it's connected, it's not a source of tumah. So why are they going to have it detached? You want an interesting Rashi? So I will give you today your interesting Rashi. So the Rashi writes, the top Rashi, second, it's the top line. Second Rashi, v'chotcho lo mishum tahara shekarim lachein my, sorry, nami tahor. So as we just articulated, it has nothing to do with tumah and tahara. It's unseemly. And it's unseemly, and so therefore, they will look better being totally amputated rather than having a dangling limb. Okay, there's your interesting Rashi of the day. But you have to say some shot in the Mishnah. Rashi does.
Because of that, there will be two
No, but why go through the whole... Why go through the whole procedure? Just leave it. Leave it. Just leave it there. And so Rashi gives up shot because they look unseemly in such a scenario. And they want to look more presentable for the Karban Pesach.
Don't we consider a limb that's about to come off?
No. Not regarding Tumah Tahara. In Tumah Tahara, it's really binary. It's either off or not off.
Right. Could they be talking about a finger or is it going to be a whole entire limb?
I mean, you don't have to love my depiction.
No,
okay. So the Kisar v'chotcha b'sir v'nimshach m'imena v'hala osa pischo. V'arofe osa pischo. Now, the reason why the last part is not going to be done by the doctor is to protect the doctor from tumah tahara. Meaning, if the doctor was there to remove the entire limb, so the person himself, the amputee, so he's good to go. But obviously now with the doctor with limb in hand, so he's not good to go. So the reason why that last part is going to be separated by the amputee himself is to save the doctor and allow the doctor to offer his Karban Pesach. Okay. Now, remember, what was the question? Limb of an animal. What's the answer? What we just learned regarding Karban Pesach. Viroin anu shadvarim kavachomer. And look, if the Abraham Medudal by Adam is, as long as it's connected, is not Tameh. So it's Kavachomer by an animal. And here, by the way, the Kavachomer, I think, is really easy to see. Tumas Adam is more Chomer. If by Tumas Adam, any connective tissue is going to save it from becoming Tameh, so clearly the same thing is going to be true regarding an animal, which is of a lesser Tumah. Kavachomer is very good. Tanan Hasam, Hamochik is a creation of Vesoche Bisa'aro Uviksuso. So let's say someone squeezes out a vegetable, or let's say someone squeezes out their hair, extracting the liquid in either one of these cases. Now, any liquid that has not been wrung out, that's still absorbed in either the vegetable or the hair, is not going to be a machshir. However, but the extracted liquid is now going to be water, which serves as a machshir. Now, that's a halacha. It's a mishnah and machshirin. What we're interested in is the statement of Shmuel. Shmuel says that, look, as you are now wringing the liquid out, so just now really slow down as that drop of water now comes out. As a drop of water comes out, two things are happening concurrently. One, the water is a machshir. Two, is that as it's coming out, it's also going to be machshir, the item that it's separating from. That's critical. Because what we're seeing now together is that even though it's in an act of separation, it's still viewed as contact. Ah. So now, if your wheels are turning, you realize now what's happening over here, it's really the same thing, isn't it? Meaning that when the amputee is separating himself from the limb will become tame when separated. At the point of separation, it's tame and it should be metame, the amputee. Okay, good. That's the Gemara's question. So, Harein b'chiyuta, so hukshura, I'm sorry. Amar Shmuel, kresha atzma hukshura. My tame b'shas prisha mimena hukshura. So again, that point of separation. So now we still view that contact as a significantly halachic contact, and therefore it's going to be machshir the vegetable or the hair. And now put that halacha of Shmuel side by side with our Mishnah. What's the difference? So why isn't the limb, while being totally severed from the person, why aren't two things happening concurrently? Okay, good. So you come up with a distinction. The government is also going to do the same. we're in the same ballpark. So good. So what's the difference between the two cases? So kedikamer of Yosef bin Itazin b'chol kochan hachinami bin Itazin b'chol kochan. The Gemara gives a really interesting distinction and one that's really hard to qualify and quantify. The difference between a hard jerk and a slow separation. So I know intuitively I also hear it, but to quantify the difference between them I think would be challenging. But anyway, the Gemara makes such a distinction. Now, Rav Yosef not only made this distinction in our scenario, but another scenario as well, a Tosefta in Machshirin. We're going deep. Which is Zavata Memes, Shayu Mahachin. You have a Zavata Tamemes, and they were walking together. And the Shayu Mahachin, the Yardu Aleim Gishamim. Rain comes down. Afa Pishesochtin, Mitzad El Yon Lissad Tachton. So now, their clothing is saturated. But again, the liquid saturated within a beged is not yet a machshir. And what do they do? So now they start wringing it out. But they wring it from the top, which means that the flow now of liquid is going to the lower portion of their garment. So, mitzad el yon lezat tachton, so tahorim, she'en mechashrin el shiyatsu mikulan. The only time that the liquid is going to be a machshir is only when it fully is separated from the garment. So just moving the liquid from one part of the garment to another, that doesn't create a machshir yet. Yatsu mikulan hare machshirin. Now, once it's separated, it will be a machshir. And it will be a machshir, and presumably also it will be machshir, the clothing as well. Am Rav Yosef, it will not be matami the beged. And again, the Gemara is curious. We learned together in that Mishnah machshirin that it would be a machshir, because at separation, it's going to have both separate and contact at the point of separation. Why aren't we saying the same thing over here? I'm Rav Yosef, and he tells him to call Kocham. And Rav Yosef now makes the same distinction. A difference between a clean jerk versus slow separation. The liquid being separated from the garment in this Tosefta we just learned, so that was done in a jerking motion. right? Binitazim bekol kochel, right? You snapped the garment. Snapping the garment, having the liquid now shoot out, catapult out of the garment. So there, so we do not look at concurrent events. We don't look at separation and contact. But if it's a slow separation, so we do look at separation and contact occurring simultaneously. And again, now it really begs the question, what exactly is going to be this this distinction quantifiably between a clean jerk versus a slow separation? But Rav Yosef does make such a chiluk, and the Gemara seems to stick with this chiluk. Okay, let's stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up at the Mishnah. Recap of the second half of the daf. More discussion of Rabbi Kiva and the Tanaim, Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Yeshua in the marketplace. Question of Avraham Duldal, is that going to be tame of an animal? And the answer is very simple. No, it's not going to be the tame. The tuma only comes about, tuma sevel only comes about at full separation. If there is any connective tissue connecting the limb to the animal, so it is still going to be considered, it's going to be considered part and parcel of the animal, vis-a-vis tahara, only at full separation. And not only is that true regarding Baim, it's also true by Adam as well. And the curious minog of the Mukashkin in Yerushalayim, where they basically amputated their already partially amputated limb in order to, so that they could bring Karban Pesach, that Rashi was interesting in terms of what the motivation is. Anyway, but the point being, of course, is that it's not Tameh until you have full separation.